Let's step inside. Not with judgment, not with noise, but with attention. There's a space online, not quite a room, not quite a movement, where ideas about manhood collect like stormwater. It's called many things, but most often, it's known as the manosphere. We're not here to argue with it, we're here to understand it. My name is Andre Barburas. I've been watching this space for years, not as an insider, not as a critic, but as someone trying to make sense of what draws people in and what holds them there. This course isn't a condemnation. It's a kind of cartography. The goal isn't to burn the forest, it's to name the trees. The word manosphere sounds like science fiction, like a dome sealed off from the rest of the world. Self-contained, self-reinforcing. And in a way, that's not really wrong. It's a pressure chamber, and when you're inside, the outside sounds distorted. There's no formal entrance. You don't knock. You don't log in. You drift. It often starts with something small. A YouTube recommendation. A podcast clip. A TikTok rant dressed as advice. Why modern women are undateable. How to stop being a beta. Masculinity is under attack. Click, and you're in. But the moment doesn't feel dramatic. There's no threshold, no alarm. Just a growing sense of resonance. Someone naming a frustration you didn't know had a name. You were tired of being ignored, tired of failing silently. And suddenly, someone is telling you, it's not your fault, it's the system, and they want you to fight back. What is the manosphere really? It's not one place, it's a web. A decentralized network of voices, icons, influencers, and philosophies, each offering a version of masculinity that promises power, clarity, and control. Some say it's about self-improvement. Others say it's a war. Most don't say anything at all. They just perform on loop. There are sectors, PUAs, red pillars, MGTOW, incels, fitness junkies, finance bros, nofap monks. It's easy to laugh at the acronyms, but each one carries a story, a logic, a pain point. And if we're not curious about the pain, we'll never understand the appeal. You see, these aren't just ideologies. They're survival strategies built by people who felt discarded, overlooked, invisible. Men who lost their place in the world, or were never given one to begin with, and went looking for meaning in the only place that answered back, the algorithm. And here's where it gets complicated, because some of what they say is not entirely wrong. Modern life is isolating. Dating can be brutal. Men are struggling with mental health. Masculinity is questioned, but rarely redefined. Into that vacuum steps the manosphere. But it doesn't just diagnose, it prescribes. And the prescription is quite simple. Dominate, detach, disregard. Vulnerability is weakness. Empathy is feminine. Women are either prizes or problems. And other men? Competition, unless they bow to the same doctrine. This isn't new. These scripts have been around forever, but the tools have changed. Now, anyone with a ring light and a grievance can reach millions. Now, toxic advice is cut into short clips, tailored to your insecurities, delivered with cinematic music, bold fonts, and six-pack abs. It doesn't feel like propaganda. It feels like guidance. And the algorithm is hungry. It learns fast. You linger too long on one angry video, and soon your entire feed is reshaped. What began as curiosity becomes repetition. Echoes bouncing louder until they sound like truth. What you see becomes what you believe, and what you believe becomes who you become. So let's ask a quieter question. What's the cost of belonging to a space like this? Because it does offer belonging. It offers brotherhood, direction, clarity. But it also demands obedience and often outrage. Stay too long and it becomes hard to tell. Are you still thinking for yourself or just reacting on cue? This is not about villains. It's about systems and needs and wounds. People don't join cults because they're evil. They join because they're looking for answers. And sometimes the wrong answers are still better than silence. So here we are, not outside the chamber, but just at the edge. Before we go deeper, pause. Ask yourself, what stories about manhood have you inherited? Who taught you what it means to be strong? And whose voice still echoes in the back of your mind when you feel weak? This journey is not about attacking those voices. It's about deciding which ones you still want to carry. Let's talk about aesthetics, because the manosphere isn't just ideas, it's a look. Crisp suits, expensive watches, dark wood, gold accents, podcast mics and leather chairs, slow motion shots of Lamborghinis, gym reps, cityscapes at dusk. It's seductive, and that's the point. This isn't just advice, it's aspirational content. But underneath the sheen, there's a hunger, not just for wealth, but for control, status, relevance, certainty. When life feels unpredictable, clarity becomes a drug. And in the manosphere, everything is clear. Who wins, who loses, and who's to blame. That's what makes it feel safe, even when it's harsh. There's a comfort in absolutism, in rules that tell you what to do, what to avoid, who to distrust, because ambiguity is exhausting, and most of us are already tired. Better to live by a script than to admit you're lost. There's another detail we can't ignore. This isn't just a male space, it's also a market. Some of the biggest voices in the manosphere, they're not preaching, they're selling. Courses, subscriptions, mentorships, mastermind groups, alpha merch. The message is, you're not enough, but for $4.99, you could be. This is where critique becomes complicated, because yes, it's predatory, but it's also responding to a real void. We've told men what not to be, but we haven't always showed them what else they could be. So the manosphere steps in and says, be this. It's extreme, but at least it's something. This segment isn't about dismantling the whole structure. It's about noticing its walls, the frames it places around your mind, the definitions it offers for manhood, the punishments it hands out for deviation. Because once you see the architecture, you can start asking, do I want to keep living in this house? Let's be clear. Masculinity is not toxic, but the fear of losing it can be. And in the manosphere, that fear is constant. Every disagreement is a challenge, every softness a threat, every woman a test. There's no room for rest when your identity is always under siege. Sometimes the manosphere feels like a place of training. Sharpen yourself, discipline yourself, earn your value. But the end goal is not peace. It is dominance. You don't evolve to become whole. You evolve to win. And if you're not winning, you're failing. But not everyone inside agrees. There are quieter corners, voices trying to redefine masculinity, not weaponize it. But they often get drowned out by the louder, more profitable rage machines. Because in the attention economy, anger is louder than nuance, and algorithms don't reward healing, they reward heat. So here is a very difficult question. What if the manosphere is right about the problems, but wrong about the solutions? What if men are struggling, but the answer is not war or withdrawal or control, but connection? That's a harder sell, but maybe that's the point. Because connection requires risk. And if you've been hurt, mocked, dismissed, risk feels like exposure. It's safer to armor up, to memorize tactics, to recite scripts, to become untouchable. But armor does not just keep pain out. It keeps intimacy out too. And maybe that's the real loss. Not that men become aggressive, but that they become unreachable, trapped behind confidence that's performative, strength that's defensive, wisdom that's borrowed. Men who speak with certainty but are never truly seen. You can't shame someone out of the manosphere. You can't logic them out either. What you can do is listen to what brought them in, the ache, the anger, the moment they felt invisible and someone finally said, "I see you and you're not alone." Even if that someone was selling poison. So this is the invitation, not to dismiss the manosphere, but to dissect it. Not to mock it, but to map it. Because if we want to change what masculinity means in the 21st century, we need to understand what it's up against and what it's afraid to lose. This is only the beginning. In the next segment, we'll go deeper into the emotional architecture of this world. The longing, the shame, the quiet desperation that fuels it. We'll talk about why so many men feel broken and why the manosphere offers not healing, but vengeance dressed as power. For now, just notice. Where does this echo in your own life? And what do you want to do with that echo?